Cape Breton Canso Anaganish Liberal MP Jaime Batiste wasted no time making his mark this past year and is now reflecting on 2025 while looking ahead to 2026. With a new riding, bid for prime minister, and a trip to the Vatican for the new pope's first service, Batiste has had his hands full and now speaks with CKOA about his year. Batiste also touched on the 2025 federal election, Prime Minister Mark Carney's leadership, those who have crossed the aisle to join the Liberals, and the new Memorandum of Understanding for the Alberta to British Columbia pipeline. Listen to the full interview with Cape Breton Canso Anaganish MP Jaime Batiste. We're joined by Jaime Batiste, Cape Breton Canso Anaganish MP, here to chat a little bit about his year. So here we are, end of the year. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. It's 2025 was a long, exciting journey, but also had its ups and downs, of course. But yeah, I'm just here to talk about the year that was, and hopefully that it won't be a year like that this year.
No. And we'll get into, you know, some of the challenges this year brought. But let's start off, you know, a little bit more positive. For you, what were some of your highlights for 2025?
You know what? I would focus on, one, the Liberal leadership race. I was one of six candidates in Canada who were greenlit to run for the position of prime minister, which was also the Liberal leader race. It was a very exciting time. It was a great time where, you know, much of what you do in politics is based on a team. When you run for leadership yourself, it's all about what are your ideas? What are the things that are important to you? How do you build a team? And how do you relay that to other people, what you're attempting to do? I think that's one of the biggest things that was an exciting part of the year of 2025. I was also very happy to join the Prime Minister in Rome for the Pope's first mass. I got to travel with the Prime Minister on his plane and get there. That was a great experience, meeting up with so many of the cardinals and actually attending that mass was amazing. The budget, I was really happy to see in the budget that one of the projects that I had been pushing for several months, if not years, was a new rink for BDEC was something that was in the budget. And hopefully, you know, when we pass the Budget Implementation Act, that this will be part of the reality for Cape Breton for years to come.
That's a long time coming.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was really glad to be able to communicate that the day of the budget to the people who work so hard in advocating for it.
So those are your highlights. Let's get into now what were some of the biggest challenges you faced this past year?
Well, you know, the biggest challenge, of course, was the loss of my staffer, the loss of my best friend, the loss of someone who was with me during the entire journey of my political career, if not my whole professional career, Arnold Sillaboy. And that was a very tough moment in February 22nd. Created a very difficult next few weeks to a very difficult month. You know, I can imagine anyone's gone through grief. Imagine going through grief and then being sent into an election right away.
Yeah.
And that's, I didn't bring my A game, but I have to give all kinds of gratitude and acknowledge my team around me that really pushed me through that election, and the Liberal Party as well, as that they made sure that I had the help that I needed during that time. But that was something that you know, I can look back and say I knew that I wasn't bringing my A game to the last election, but somehow we pulled it off anyway.
Yeah, and speaking of the election, you know, it was a couple months after that was held in April. We've had a few months now to kind of get a sense of Mark Carney's leadership. How are you feeling about his leadership?
I think Mark Carney is brilliant. I really enjoy the way he shares with caucus his thoughts around things. You know, fundamentally, we have a existential problem in Canada is that fundamentally the United States have changed their trade policy. They act very erratically in terms of international relations. As we've seen, we need someone at the helm that understands economics. We need someone at the helm that's going to create that unity in Canada. And I think that's what he's really done, is creating that unity with the premiers, creating that unity and attempting to do so with Indigenous communities and Indigenous leaders, and really saying that what we have to do is ensure that what we're doing with the economy is creating a more resilient Canada that's less dependent on the United States, that focuses on defense and focuses on our economy, and really looks at these national projects that are going to build our country moving forward.
Yeah, and speaking of those national projects, there's one that I did want to ask your opinion on. The Prime Minister, a few weeks back, signed a memorandum of understanding with the Alberta Premier for construction of the pipeline from Alberta to BC. How are you feeling about that?
Well, that's not a national project. Let me push back a little bit.
Yeah.
It's what we said was we're not going to say no to it. What the Prime Minister was very clear was this is enabling. The Prime Minister believes in cooperative federalism, and what we have to do as a country is be able to work with the premiers. What we've told the Premier of Alberta is that we're not opposed to a pipeline, but certain factors have to be met. First of all, there's no proponent currently for this, and the government isn't paying for a pipeline. We've already have a pipeline for sale that no one's buying. Secondly, there's no route planned. So they have to figure out a route to get this done. And in that route, they're going to go through First Nations communities, and they have to have the free prior informed consent of those communities to put that route through. And you have to go through my the Premier of British Columbia, my former law school classmate, David Eby, who I admire quite a bit. I think he's a great person. You're going to have to convince him that this is within the best interest of British Columbia. These are major ifs in terms of, but we're not going to tell her that we're going to say no to it. We're going to say, if you do this, here's what we expect from you in terms of helping us reach our climate targets. Here's a, if you can get these things done, and that's a major if, because I've talked to the British Columbia chiefs when they were down. They don't seem to be really keen on a pipeline going through their communities. They want to protect their waters. They want to protect their salmon. They want to protect their customary forests. And so it's going to be a challenge for them. But what the Prime Minister did was say, in order to cooperate with the Premier of Alberta, we'll say, if you can do all of these things, this is what we expect from you in turn on carbon capture, on all of these things. And so while I'm fundamentally an environmentalist, I grew up with Indigenous beliefs that you have to take care of your environment. I understand the current dynamics of cooperative federalism and what we need to do to ensure that all premiers are on board with what we need to do to build this country.
And getting back, you know, a little bit more to the local side of things, you're in a new district now following the election. How is that going, and how have things changed for you?
You know what? It's a lot more time on the road, but Cape Breton, Canso, Antigonish is absolutely a breathtaking riding. Throughout the summer, I just couldn't help but marvel, you know, as I'm driving around the Bridora Lakes, or I'm driving along the Margaree River, or I'm driving Oceanside in Inverness watching the sun set. It's such a beautiful riding, but it's also a lot more Zoom meetings, a lot more time on computers, because I can't be in all places. And if you look at the riding from one part of the next, it's about 7 hours from tip to tip. If you went from Bay St. Lawrence to all the way down to Canso, it's huge. And so I spend a lot more time on the road than I've have, which is spending more time away from family, but also I feel like I'm blessed in a lot of ways, because there are people in Toronto who have concrete jungles as they're riding, and I have this beautiful ocean lake playground that you know, with great people.
Yeah. And still kind of, well, because it has kind of touched us here in the province, because we saw Chris D'Entremont move from the Conservative Party over to the Liberals. How are you feeling about those that are crossing the aisle to join the Liberals?
You know what? I got a chance to talk to Chris quite a bit this week. And you know what? What Canadians really want right now, on all different stripes and sides of the of policies, is to unite as a country, to move our country forward, because we have a existential threat that is the change in administration, the Trump administration, and they've changed their trade policies, and they're creating difficult conditions internationally. What we need to do is figure out how do we build together, and what the Conservatives have been doing under Pierre Poilievre is not building a Team Canada approach. It's seeing how can we obstruct, how can we delay, how can we drag things to a halt? And in this moment in time, that's not what a lot of conservative politicians want to do. I know a lot of really good people in the Conservative Party, and you know, they want to be part of the answer, not a part of the the obstruction of it. And I think that's where Carney and his center really pragmatic approach is resonating with people on the other side. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to get another conservative or two across the floor, because the conditions that we're creating are something that let's build Canada as opposed to let's, you know, saying it's broken and trying to take it down.
Right. And looking ahead, how are you feeling? You know, we're here in 2026. How are you feeling about this coming year?
I'm feeling optimistic, but I'm also seeing that things are the way the world is happening, things that are happening with the United States, the approaches they're taking to international law and international relations is alarming, which makes it even more important that we're able to move forward with a budget that builds our country, that creates independence from the United States, and that really helps our country to get, you know, the best. I know we have the best trade deal with the United States, but really create certainty moving forward. And I think that's the challenge that we have in this country. And we've been fortunate in the Atlantic that the tariffs haven't impacted as much as other places that are dependent on the forestry sector, on the auto sector, on the aluminum sector. But we have to find ways in which to protect all of Canada, and the biggest part of that is to try to figure out where is there room for growth, where there's room for development. I think we have one of the big projects that we're looking for is the Wind West, or the Atlantic Energy, that really uses the wind to power not only the needs of Nova Scotia, but the needs of possibly Atlantic Canada and New England into the United States, to be able to make progress on that. I think that that's something that's not only something that's consistent with our environmental beliefs, but also what we need to do to ensure that we move our economy along.
And did you have a final message you wanted to share?
I just want to wish everyone a happy new year. And for those in Cape Breton, Canso, Auntie Ganesh, you know, this is I've been MP now for a few months. I'm looking forward to meeting most of you in your various areas and getting out there. I know it's a large riding, but I'm doing my best to start meeting with folks and to figure out what are your priorities for the new year.
Well, Jaime Batista, really appreciate you coming down and joining us today.
Thank you for having me.